I'll try to briefly discuss a few issues that are nageya to the question surrounding Hilchas Kibud Av Va Em. When is there a limit on Kibud Av Va Em? No, Chazal tell us a very interesting story. It says that Rav Asi went from Bovil to Eretz Yisroel. Rav Asi, it says, was the second greatest of the Chachomim in Bovil. The Gemara in Bava Kama says so. He was almost as great as Rav. And the Shmuel, who's the Halachas Kemoisei b'chol mokim b'chol dinei momenes, he was second to Rav Asi. Rav Asi was almost like a Tana. How come Rav Asi left Bovil and left Rav and Shmuel behind him and went to Eretz Yisroel? Well, it tells a very interesting story. Rav Asi had an old mother who he found it difficult and then later impossible to take care of. He couldn't handle it. She interrupted him from morning till night and put demands on him and asked him for all kinds of things that were impossible for him to provide. So he decided the only way is to leave Bovil and go to Eretz Yisroel. Why is it? Because the chiyuvim of Kibud Eim made it just impossible for him to function. And he couldn't just ignore his mother while he was there in the country. Now, it's certain beyond the shadow of doubt that he did something to provide for her. He couldn't have just left her hefker. She should fend for herself. And she couldn't. She had a breakdown, surely, and she wasn't able to fend for herself. Which shows us that there was the equivalent of the type of homes that we have today. It's not an innovation. It's not something that was just invented in modern times. It's something that has to be. So, Kosman, he was there, and she demanded that he come and give up everything and just do nothing but take care of her. So he had no choice until he decided that the only option is to go to Bovil, to go to Eretz Yisroel, rather, and thus he was able to function and live, and learn and teach and spread Torah to Klal Yisroel. After that, he never saw his mother again. I don't know if she lived for a long time afterwards, but it wasn't like today where you commute back and forth in a few moments' time. So Rav Asi met his mother next time when he heard an announcement that the mother of Rav Asi is coming to Eretz Yisroel. And he didn't know what to do. And then finally he went out to meet her, but it turned out that the announcement meant they were bringing her to Eretz Yisroel for Kvura. So he never saw her alive. So what you see over here is that there is, not infrequently in Klal Yisroel, a clash between the chiyuvim of Kibud Av Va Em and the necessity of being able to function and take care of one's personal needs, raise one's family, provide for one's sustenance. And because of that, you sometimes have a clash. The mother or father, the parent, refuses to leave the home. We all know in our own generation, one of the very great tzaddikim who lived till his last day in his own home. He was a zokin mufluk, but Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, left instructions to his family that in case he becomes a burden on his family, he should be put into a nursing home. Of course, no one would have done such a thing, and Reb Shlomo Zalman never became infirm to the degree that he was a burden. He was lucid till his last day, well into his 90s. But it was an issue that he felt he had to deal with, otherwise his children would find themselves incapable of taking care of him. And the mitzvah of Kibbutz Av would in turn become a clash and a contradiction with the chiyuv of taking care of oneself, one's family. So there is that difficult choice that has to be made. And we see the way people dealt with it, Gedol Yisrael, in former times and in recent times. There were things that times when a parent, it was no longer possible for a child to take care of a parent. Sometimes it's for other reasons. When I was a youngster, one of my most favorite relatives was the one who I never saw while she was alive, but she was almost 100 when she was in Teres, and she was my Baba Brucha. Baba Brucha was actually a great-great-grandmother. And all I ever saw was the picture of this ancient woman. It looked to me as if she was always so old and tiny, until I finally saw a picture of her as a young woman holding a baby in her arms when she first came here to America, closely after the Civil War. And I was told that the Baba Brucha, when she was 95, she was healthy, could take care of herself, and she told her family that she's moving into the Menorah home, which was then the prime nursing home of the Federation, Bushwick Avenue. It was the famous Menorah home, and she lived there. For the last 5 years of her life, she came out to Simchas, but she felt she needed people that she could be a chavrta with. Oy chavrusa, oy mesusa. I was told how she danced the kizatzke for, and not the kizatzke, excuse me, the chardash. The chardash was the tant. The kizatzke is only for younger people. It's a little bit unusual, but at the age of 95, everyone there that was close to her were old enough to be her grandchildren, probably. And so a person needs to have a world of their own. Chazal tell us the story of Chayne HaMagel. Chayne HaMagel slept for 70 years and he woke up at a time when he was double the age of everyone around and he couldn't take it. He said, he's the one who said, Oy chavrus, oy misusa. Either have friends or stop living. One must have friends. And sometimes a good home provides that companionship which the child can't even really provide at home. Sometimes the old woman is fortunate enough to understand that, to be able to understand it. It's not an everyday occurrence that a zakena realizes that she'll be able to keep the friends of hers or closer to her age, l'chalapachas, and make them happy and sing to them and dance for them and tell stories. And I was told that was those 5 years were the highlight of the menorah home. They all speak about it. She kept them entertained, and she had a certain, Baruch Hashem, a gift for being completely lucid and physically capable. What happens, though, when a child in the family has to make the decision? And there's two parts to the decision, not just one. One part is to decide that the time has come where they could no longer really take care on a daily basis in their home of the aged parent. For many reasons. But, Rabbeisai, there are other reasons why people want the aged parent to be out of their home, simply because it's a burden on them and they put them in a nursing home and forget about them. There was once an old man who came to rent a room by us. On the top floor, he had a good, healthy pair of legs. He could climb a couple of stories without taxing himself. He was quite old, and after 4 or 5 years in our house, he began to deteriorate. Everything in his body went except his legs. And we found relatives who refused to deal with him. So we took it upon ourselves. We spoke with the people at JASA, and they helped us get him into a nursing home. And we would go there every Friday to visit him. My wife and myself and my little children, because it was quite a few years ago. And what we saw was what one typically sees in a home. You saw people who were cherished and held in great love and respect by their families, and they always had visitors, always had cards and little great-grandchildren and grandchildren to entertain them and to be with them and to visit with them. They had a wonderful life sometimes. They were unable to appreciate it because of the inability to communicate, but self-called self. We saw that constantly. We went there for over a year, every single Friday. And some people were totally gone and neglected and forgotten about. And they had relatives. They had family. But they were completely abandoned. So, when we speak about Kibud Av V'Aim, we're speaking to people for whom Kibud Av V'Aim is a real concern. And they don't abandon their parents. If they do, then I have nothing to say to them. And maybe it's better that they give them over to someone who will know what to do and will know how to show friendship and care for a parent. And I remember so vividly, they had 3 floors in Menorah, and there was one for fairly lucid people, and there was another one mildly confused, and another one for severely confused. And he went from one to the other until he reached the point where his body and neshama separated, and we were the ones who buried it. And then a nephew called us up and and said, thank you very much. You did such a wonderful thing, you know. We got that Hachri Mois Kedosha memory. But we're talking about people who don't want to abandon their parents and have to make that rough decision. But there's a second decision that has to be made. And that is, where? There are a lot of places that advertise, and you would have it from the way they portray themselves as being friendly, kindly. And very often it's not so. I've had many discussions with chaplains in nursing homes who would tell me about the horrors of the nighttime shift, where the staff there was very often neglectful, and I'll be kind and use that mild term, neglectful. And we know that there are places where it's not so, where the management, the ownership, is very, very concerned and sits and worries about the old people as if they were immediate family, and make sure that they're kindly people there at all times, and not just leave the night shift and the difficult times to people who have absolutely no feeling. That's something that has to be found out. You know, there are different type of facilities. There are facilities which are provide independent living, assisted living facilities. No, there are nursing homes, and like I said, there are departments for the severely confused and for mildly confused and other. I don't know if they're all blended in one facility, like it was in Menorah. That was a sort of a national type thing, but I don't know how it is today. But it definitely has to be examined. That's part of Kibud Av V'Em, sometimes to determine which is the place. And it takes a lot of koiches. One has to speak with families of patients, inmates who are there, or perhaps find some old people who understand quite well what the situation is, and they could give you a good picture. A child has to put in a lot of koiches to investigate which is the most appropriate facility for a parent. It's not something, the decision that could be made is a snap decision. And sometimes, Rabbis, I want to remind ourselves of a consideration. I didn't investigate it before. Sometimes the child is neglecting the parent by keeping him home, because he has no way of providing the needs, and not just health. You could always get yourselves in the home an oxygen tank and all the kind of different materials. Sometimes when an elderly parent goes from the world, comes a truck or a couple of vehicles to take out all the machinery that you've had to be there in the house. But sometimes it's fine, because the child is willing to give themselves up and do everything and make the father or the mother feel wanted and happy, and the doors of the house are open, and kinderlach, and ur 1 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, come in and sing. And so, but sometimes they just can't do it for many reasons. They don't have the ability and the time, and sometimes not the knowledge and not the capability of what the Gemara says at the end of Megillah. It says if a person doesn't sing when he's learning, so all of Akosavoyim and Gamanoichin and Satalachem, Chukim Loitoivim. So the Gemara says, Otu Kol Mandalo Yodal of Sumi Kola. If a person can't sing, he can't learn. Sometimes it's just that when it comes to a parent, and there's nothing more to do than sing. And if somebody can't, you know. Of course, it's not always in a most important consideration, but it's something to take into the cheshbon. Involved in making a decision is to walk around, unannounced perhaps, and try to take a peek at the people, see them when they eat, in public places where you could get into. You're not supposed to be snooping around a home where you don't have a relative, but you could ask for permission to check and take a look. If it's so secretive that nobody could take a look and see, then maybe they're trying to hide something. Somebody once told me about an idea they had. You know, there are certain rehab places, rehabilitation facilities, where they try to, where they sometimes have younger people who need rehab. It's not always older people who need rehab. And maybe it would be kedai to keep in the same building, in the same facility. It's a totally different umness. So I don't know if it's practical. But to have younger people that would be able to visit with the older people and talk and joke with them. I remember so vividly how week in and week out, and we went there on the shortest Fridays. We took a taxi. I didn't know how to drive them in the beginning. And we went. I had 3, 4, 5 children, until the old man was nifter, and they were so, it was their greatest moment of the week. The minute we entered the door and went through the halls, we heard practically a shout from all the rooms. They're here, the simcha. And my kinderlach knew to go to this one and to that one and just go and say hello and do whatever it took to show love and to show care for people. They loved it. So maybe it's possible to find some way of having a rehab center for younger people. You know, they advertise about these pendants that have little communication devices. Maybe it's possible to communicate. It's not always practical, but maybe it's possible to find ways of letting the children communicate in some limited form with the elderly relative on a basis when you could know more about what's going on. I know one thing. I have talmidim who were chaplains in nursing homes and in assisted living facilities. And they would tell me about their experiences. And they said that the ones who got the best care were the ones who used a little old-fashioned diplomacy. And you know what old-fashioned diplomacy has another name, maybe more appropriate, shoychat. They would come and pass a larger bill to the head nurse and a smaller one to each of the people on the floor. And they knew that this patient had to be given special care because the relative was a very generous person. It's not always possible. And it doesn't cost a fortune, but it does make a difference very often. It also makes a difference when someone inquires about someone. How is mom doing? How is she? And it makes an enormous difference when you tell the one in charge, mom really appreciates what you're doing for her. She loves you because of what you did, and you list out, you did this and you did that. It was so great and it was so beautiful. We really appreciate it too. And show appreciation in words too, not just in dollar bills. Sometimes, other kinds of presents were given. But when they show that there's a person who really will go out of the way for the relative and is really interested and really appreciates the good that's done, the care will be three times as good. That's a teva odom. You're not going to change the world. You might find some hidden tzaddik, a lamed vovnik, who happens to be a nurse on the floor, who takes care of patients who, when they show no appreciation, it'd have to be some malach in the form of a person for that. It's just not natural. People do much more when there's a feeling of appreciation for the person and there's interest in, and the person's not abandoned. I remember the last visit, my wife's grandfather was an old shaykhet. I was there the last afternoon, it was Erev Shavuos. And I look at Yid. His words to me were, that was almost his last words, next to the last words, were, he says, Baruch Hashem, I have nachas to report to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Kindlech, Einiklech, Or Einiklech, Hashem Yitayr Mitzvahs, and learning in the yeshiva. When I come to HaKadosh Baruch. He was ready. He says, don't tell me anything. I'm ready. So I'll tell you what the last words in a minute. The nurse poked her head into the room and said, Rabbi, there's a Jewish patient who's groaning and moaning down the hall. So I went down the hall. Sure enough, there was a man who was groaning and moaning. And he takes a look. Somebody came. He says, Oi! Mit Machamul Griefen, Yankele mit der goldene Stimme. And he started talking about how there used to be posters about Yankele with the golden voice is going to sing, and people came to listen to him sing. And now his voice is gone, and now this and now that, and nothing, just an endless stream of complaints and bitterness. No. I soothed him and spoke to him and joked with him, and it helped a little. Very canvas, I don't know. I tried my best. And then I decided I'm going to run. It was Erev Yontif. I ran back to the Zayde, and the Zayde told me, what are you doing here? It's Erev Yontif. Life shot in the heim. He says, don't hang around. No. An Alech Yid is an Alech Yid. Vayim. A Shail of Chilul Yontif. It's more than a visit. But there needs to be people to cheer up, and I'll leave you with one little story, Rabbi Sayin, of what this involves. I met a chaver of mine who had had a heart attack. He was back in the shul, and he told me a strange experience. He had a knock on the door. And who was there to visit him? Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. So Rabbi Moshe came to visit him, and he was struggling since that moment. What was the schus that Rabbi Moshe came to visit him? Was it because of this mitzvah that he did, because of this thing? He was figuring and working to try to figure out what did he do that Rabbi Moshe found the need to visit him. Finally, it was discovered. Had nothing to do with anything he ever did. Nothing to do with him, in fact. There was a Yid that had come 2 hours earlier to have Moshe with old-style story that we're all used to hearing. Look what the world is coming to, or where the world is going to. No, people aren't nice, and people aren't kind, and people are so neglectful, not like it used to be in the good old days. And the man kept telling about how everybody's so callous and they don't care and show any interest and so on. And to prove his point, he told Reb Moshe about this old man who lives in his building on the same floor and has many relatives and is there in a nursing home and nobody's interested in him. And they don't come to visit him. So Moshe asked him a pointed question. He said, why don't you go? No, you visit him every other day and cheer him up. Oh, he says, Rebbe, I don't have time, I'm so busy. Okay. So Moshe said goodbye, he had left. He turned around, as soon as the door closed, he turned around to the younger man who was there with him, and he said, come, get my coat right this minute. He got his coat, put it on, went downstairs and hailed a taxi, and he says, we're going to Beth Israel Hospital. And the Moshe went to the hospital, and he stayed there for 2 hours. He told him stories, and he smiled to him, and joked with him, and until he felt that the person's spirit was restored. And when he was about to leave the hospital, so he turned around to the attendant there, and he said, are there any other Jewish patients on the floor? And they said, yes, there happens to be a Yid in the 2 rooms down. So Moshe went in to him and said, should have a refuah shleima, and he gave him a bracha. And that was this Rosh Hashiva who got that surprise visit from Reb Moshe. But you see what it is, Reb Moshe. So Moshe had, I'm sure, 10,000 times less time available than this elder Yid who complained about the world. And still in all, the time spent in providing comfort and cheer to an older person who's lonely in the hospital and who feels abandoned. As long as we have people like that in the world, our boys say, even if they're not as great as Reb Moshe, then the world is still worthy of existing. Kodesh Baruch Hu should give everyone the koyach to do whatever they possibly could, and when they have to do something difficult, they should have the wisdom to study it and think deeply into it and to figure out what the best way is. And they should have Baruch HaVatzlocha B'chol Onyan.